This lesson is about building a drum and bass riser that actually earns the drop inside Ableton Live using stock tools. We're staying focused on effects design and transition energy, specifically a riser that creates tension, width, forward motion, and a clean handoff into the next section. In drum and bass, a riser is not just some noise going up. It sits in the final 4, 8, or 16 bars before a drop, switch up, or second drop variation, and its job is to tell the listener and the DJ system that something important is about to happen. A good riser makes the section feel larger without masking your drums, washing out your bass entry, or turning the pre-drop into white noise mush. This matters musically because drum and bass lives on phrasing and payoff. If your riser is too weak, the drop feels smaller than it should. If it is too loud, too bright, or too busy, it steals impact from the first kick snare hit. Technically, this is about frequency buildup, stereo management, automation shape, and arrangement timing. This approach best suits dancefloor, neuro, and modern rollers, where transitions need to feel deliberate and club-ready. It also works in liquid if you soften the aggression and shorten the spectral build. By the end, you should be able to build a riser that sounds like a real pre-drop device. It starts controlled, grows in width and tension, lifts the perceived energy, and then gets out of the way so the drop hits harder. A successful result should feel like the room is being pulled upward and inward at the same time, tense, exciting, and clearly leading somewhere. You will build a layered drum and bass riser effect made from stock Ableton sources and processing designed to live in the final 8 bars before a drop. The finished result should have a bright, noisy upper layer for air and lift, a pitch tonal layer for musical ascent, a controlled low-cut build so it adds energy without clouding the drop, stereo growth that widens as the section approaches impact, and a clean final cutoff or suction into silence right before the drop. Rhythmically, it should feel like a continuous tension device rather than a melody. Its role is to support the arrangement, underline bar phrasing, and increase anticipation. It should be polished enough to sit in a near-finished arrangement, shaped, ect, automated, and balanced against drums, sub, and lead elements. Not a random placeholder, but something you could keep in the final track. Success here means this. If you mute the riser, the pre-drop should feel flatter and less exciting. When it is on, the section should build naturally, but the actual drop should still feel bigger than the riser. First, decide exactly where the riser starts and where it resolves. In drum and bass, the most reliable format is an 8-bar riser into bar 1 of the drop, though 4 bars can work for tighter arrangements, and 16 bars can work for cinematic intros. In arrangement view, mark the final 8 bars before your drop. If your drop lands at bar 49, your riser starts at bar 41. This matters because your automation curves, filter movement, and final tail all need to serve phrasing, not just exist in isolation. Why this works in drum and bass? Listeners are locked into strong 16 and 32 bar structures. A riser that follows exact bar phrasing reinforces that structure and makes the drop feel intentional, not accidental. Soloing the riser while you design it is fine, but keep returning to the full track. In drum and bass, effects are judged by how they push the section, not by how impressive they sound alone. Create a new MIDI track and load operator. Set oscillator to noise white. This gives you a controllable, stock noise source without needing a sample. Now shape it. Set the attack around 10 to 30 milliseconds. Set the release around 200 to 500 milliseconds. Keep sustain high. Put an auto filter after operator. Start the filter around 1.2 kHz. Automate it up to around 10 to 14 kHz over the 8 bars. Use 12 dB or 24 dB high-pass mode. This is your main air lift layer. The high-pass movement is critical. Instead of simply getting louder, the sound feels like it is climbing, because the spectral center shifts upward. What to listen for? You want the riser to feel like it is opening and accelerating, not just getting hissier. If the top end becomes painful early, your filter has opened too fast, or your layer is too loud. Noise alone gives energy, but a tonal layer gives the ear something to follow. Create a second MIDI track with Waveatable or Operator. Use a simple waveform, a saw, or a sine plus harmonic sound. Works well. Program a single long MIDI note over 8 bars, then automate pitch upward. The cleanest stock approach is to automate the synth pitch or transpose the clip gradually, if you prefer to commit later. Useful targets are a rise of 7 semitones for a restrained lift, or a rise of 12 semitones for a classic full octave rise. Keep the tonal layer low and level, usually 6 to 12 dB quieter than the noise layer. Add processing. Use auto filter to high pass from 300 Hz to 2.5 kHz. Add reverb with a decay of 2.5 to 4.5 seconds. Set dry wet around 15 to 30%. Use utility to narrow the start and widen the end. This tonal layer should not become a lead. It is there to create a psychological sense of upward arrival. There's an A versus B decision point here. A smooth octave rise is cleaner, more modern, and better for dancefloor and liquid. A dissonant 7-semitone rise, or a layered tuned rise, creates more tension and works better for neuro or darker transitions. Choose the smooth octave rise if the drop is already very busy. Choose the dissonant or detuned option if the transition itself needs more drama. Select both riser tracks and group them. Now you can automate the whole riser as one object. On the group, add this stock chain. EQ8, saturator, utility, and limiter. In EQ8, roll off below about 180 to 250 Hz. Add a gentle high shelf of 1 to 3 dB above around 6 to 8 kHz if needed. In saturator, use light drive around 2 to 5 dB. In utility, automate gain up by about 1.5 to 3 dB over the riser. In limiter, only catch peaks. Don't squash the movement. Grouping stops you from fighting two separate automations later. It also lets you shape the riser as a transition device rather than as individual sounds. Color the group clearly and label it by function, not just something like FX7. Name it something like 8-bar drop riser. When you revisit the arrangement later, you'll know exactly what it is doing. A common drum and bass move is making the riser widen over time. Done well, it feels like the track is expanding. Done badly, it makes the drop feel smaller because the pre-drop is already too wide and too loud. Use utility on the riser group and automate width. Start around 50 to 70%, end around 120 to 140%. Then use a second auto filter or EQ8 to keep the sides from getting harsh. If needed, tame a brittle zone around 7 to 10 kHz. What to listen for? By the final two bars, the riser should feel bigger in the room, but the center should still feel available for the drop's kick, snare, vocal, or lead stab. If the pre-drop already feels maxed out, your width automation is probably too extreme. In drum and bass, because drops often hit with centered kick, snare, sub, and a more focused lead statement, your riser should expand the edges without stealing center authority. This is where many risers become professional instead of generic. In the final half bar or quarter bar, before the drop, you want either a hard silence, a suction effect, or a short washtail that vanishes before impact. Create this with a dedicated send or a direct chain. Use reverb, auto filter, and utility. Increase reverb dry wet in the final bar from around 15% to about 35 to 45%. Automate auto filter low pass downward fast in the last quarter bar to half bar. Optionally, automate utility gain down by 3 dB to silence right before the drop. This makes the riser bloom, then disappear. The contrast is what makes the drop hit. The trick is timing. Too early and you lose momentum. Too late and the reverb smears over the first snare. A strong starting point is muting or sharply fading the riser 1/16th to 1/8th note before the drop. Stop here if the riser already creates enough tension and the transition reads clearly in context. More layers do not always mean more impact. A sustained riser can feel flat if nothing changes in the final approach. Without leaving effects territory, add subtle rhythmic punctuation. You can automate a faster filter opening in the last two bars. Add a short repeated noise stab every half beat in the last bar. Gate the tall layer into eighth notes in the final bar, or automate a small volume pulse with auto pan set for amplitude modulation only. If using auto pan as a tremolo, set phase to zero, amount to around 20 to 40%, speed around 1/8 or 1/16th, and automate it in only near the end. This gives the riser forward motion without turning it into percussion. In drum and bass, this kind of final tightening works well, because the genre thrives on acceleration and bar line pressure. Now check the riser against the rest of the section. Bring back your drums, any pre-drop vocal, and any tonal pad or lead. Check three things. Is the riser masking the snare body around 180 to 250 Hz? Is it crowding vocal clarity around 2 to 5 kHz? Is it making the hats feel smaller by overfilling the top end? Use EQ8 and cut 2 to 4 dB where conflict appears. If a vocal is present, dip the riser around 3 kHz. If hats disappear, reduce the riser top shelf or automate the riser down 1 to 2 dB when hats intensify. This is where many producers overrate solo design and underrate arrangement. A good riser is not the brightest thing in the session. It is the thing that makes the drop feel expensive. Once the shape is right, consider committing it to audio. Resampling is useful, because you can edit microfades, reverse tails, and exact pre-drop cutoffs faster in audio than with a stack of live automation. Flatten the riser group or resample it to a new audio track. Then trim the start cleanly, add a short fade in, add a precise fade out before the drop, reverse a small tail section if you want extra suction, and nudge timing by a few milliseconds if needed. Commit this to audio if your CPU is climbing, if your automation is getting messy, or if you want absolute confidence in the transition timing. In real sessions, this is often the faster and cleaner move. Now judge the riser not as a sound, but as a phrase. In drum and bass, your transition should support mixability and section readability.